Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and the sun was up, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the church you've given us here. Thank you for the music that stirred our souls. Lord God, thank you so much for the Bible and the word of God and a pastor that will stand and preach it to us. Now, Father, use him this morning. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Help us to be hearers that hear this morning. God bless us for being here today. And Father, has already been prayed, if there's one in this room that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die because their sins have not been forgiven yet, God help them to trust Christ today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we always ask you to check your electronic devices now and make sure they're on vibrate or off so they'll not go off during the service. And that way, one of the ushers will not need to come down the aisle with a club and beat you to death. And so help us with that, please, if you would. We'll also ask you not to get up and move around now and listen very carefully today. This message this morning is going to require that you keep your Bible open at Matthew 13 and that you follow along with me very carefully today. And the reason we ask people not to get up and move around is as a distraction. It's funny. We'll be in a room full of people somewhere and someone will get up and move around, never paying attention. What happens in church, everybody's got to watch them go out of the room and come back in, like you've never seen a human being walk out of a room before. So you'll help me there if you'll do that this morning, and I would appreciate it very much. I want to talk to you about a very familiar, what I think is the jewel of all parables that Jesus taught in Matthew 13. In this 13th chapter, there are seven parables that Jesus taught. A parable is a truth that is drawn from an everyday circumstance or event in the Bible. And in this case, Jesus is using a very familiar analogy of a man who goes out with a basket or an apron, as it were, full of seed into a field, scooping up handfuls and casting it out. And some of that seed would fall into good soil that was prepared for it. Some of the seed would fall on the pathway around the field where people walked quite often. That pathway was called wayside. It was as hard as concrete. Some seed would fall into soil that had not much dirt and a lot of rocks in it, and some of the seed would fall in soil that already had other seed in it. But it wasn't good seed. It was weeds and thorns and thistles. As that seed would germinate and begin to grow, he said things would happen. Now, we stop reading the parable as he told it of the sower, the seed, and the soil. Down a few more verses, we're going to give you Jesus' interpretation of the parable. But let me explain to you what he's teaching here. Jesus is talking to us about not farming. He's talking to us about the effect of God's word in people's lives and why it's different. I was figuring it out this morning, in our 25th anniversary here in just a few weeks, we'll have from this pulpit and from the pulpits in this church, over 6,000 times have preached God or taught God's word 6,000 times in 25 years. You think about how much Bible that is going out. On top of God's people, if you're right now and you do this right, you'd read your Bible at home also. So if you read it every day, 365 days out of the year, multiplying that plus the times you come to church four times a week, Sunday school, 10 o'clock in the morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock in the morning, Sunday school. That's a time to learn God's word. Now you need to back your schedule up an hour and come to Sunday school. Get in a class and sit and listen to the word of God. Sunday school at 10 o'clock, morning service at 11, evening service at preaching at 6, and Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time at 7 p.m. You add those four events to your personal Bible reading. There's a lot of Bible going out there. But then look at me. But why is it that some Christians, some people will come, hear the message of the Word of God and the gospel, receive Christ as their Savior, life is changed, and they go on for God, and they're never the same again. But some will come, hear the message of God's Word, and leave exactly as they came. Why is it the Bible affects some and affects others differently? And why is it for some people, it's like shooting BBs at a parking meter? I mean, they're not going to get a thing out of it. Look at me this morning. Some of you this morning, you're going to come to church and leave this building and you're going to get nothing out of what happens. But why is that? Why is it people will read their Bibles and read it regularly and daily as they ought to, and yet for some it transforms them. It's their nourishment, their life, their strength, their health. It's bread and milk and seed and water and all the things that you need. And it's the meat that you need in your life. Remember, vegetarian is an old Indian expression for no can hunt. That's what that means. But anyway, the truth of the matter... If you're a vegetarian, God bless you. But the truth of the matter is, it's the Word of God is everything to them. I mean, they thrive on it and they grow by it. Yet for others, it's just a book. It's got black ink and white paper, and that's just about it. Why is there a difference? This parable explains these things. And now listen to me carefully. And for you and for me, we're going to find ourselves in this parable somewhere today. Because 2,000 years later, it's still the sower seed and the soil principle about how the Word of God affects people in their life. Now let's set the characters in the parable. The sower, he that goeth forth and soweth, that's any person that takes God's Word and disseminates it to people. Whether it's a preacher or a teacher, or you personally taking the Word of God yourself in your hand and reading it, that's the sower, the one who gives out the seed of the Word of God. The same parable is taught in Mark chapter 4 also, and it says the sower is the Word of God. The Word of God, the seed itself is God's Word. That book you hold in your hand, how that God desires to take the seed of His Word with the gospel in it and give it to people so they'll have it in their lives. So we know what the sower is. Now that's the person who disseminates God's word. The seed is the word of God itself. Then the Bible says the soil. Well, the soil is the condition of the human heart and mind that hears the word of God. So you see, that's us today. We are the soil of this parable. And every one of us today are one of the four types of soil of which Jesus spoke in this parable. Now, holding your place in Matthew there, please, again. He says, he speaks of the soil here in verse number 5, verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. That's wayside soil. And fowls came and devoured them up, the Bible said. Verse number 5 now. Verse 4 is wayside soil. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places. So we have stony soil. Number 2. And they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. Thorns weren't there to begin with. There was already seed in the ground. And when the seed of this, God's word began to take effect, there was thorny seed there that came up, thorny soil. You have wayside, stony, thorny soil. Then verse number 8, but other fell on good ground. Now drop down a few verses to verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth the way that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So listen carefully. Wayside soil speaks of a person whose heart and mind is hardened to the things of God. And when they hear the message of God's word, they don't want to receive it. It's not that there's anything wrong with the seed, and there's certainly nothing wrong with the sower. It's the condition of the person's heart and mind who comes and hears what the Bible has to say. If it's hardened, the Bible says the wicked one, the devil comes. And the Bible says he catches away that seed. Like a bird would find seed on a pavement somewhere, snap it up, it's gone. It's no longer there, does no good whatsoever because there is no seed. Verse number 20, but he that receiveth seed in stony places is the same which he that heareth the word and anon receiveth it with joy. In other words, they have an emotional reaction. They hear the word of God and they go, oh, I like that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I like that. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoice. I like that. They hear that part of the Bible that they like. And they receive it initially, the Bible says. Verse 21, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, watch this, because of the word, by and by he is offended. This person in their life here that receives seed in stony places is a person who receives the word of God, and the parts they like, but when the Bible starts to confront them in the way they live, they don't like that kind of stuff. No, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I don't like that. So today we're creating churches all across America that make sure there's no problem with the word of God as how they present it to you. They don't confront you about anything. You're not going to get, no one's going to tell you how to live or what to do. That'll be all fine because they don't want you to be offended by that. I guarantee you this morning, I offended some people in my Sunday school class. I bet he offended some people in his Sunday school class this morning. I bet there were children who were offended in our Sunday school classes this morning because we presented the Word of God simply and clearly. Now stay with me. And when the persecution or trouble comes because of the Word of God, they're offended by the Word of God. Verse 22, and he that also receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Soil that has seed already in it can't receive other seed. And when the seed of the word of God tries to take effect in their life, they've got so much of this world in them and so much of the world that cares in their life, it chokes out the good seed and they don't get it. The last one is the good soil, verse 23. But he that receiveth seed in a good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now listen carefully this morning. I'm going to wrap this up, give you some simple lessons today. But I want you to place yourself among one of these four people. Because I want you to understand something. You see, the reason the word of God affects some and not others, the key difference is the person. Not the one who's giving the word of God and not the word of God itself. Yeah, but see, look here. I don't like that preacher, the way he gets in my face like that. I don't appreciate that about him. I don't like that kind of stuff where you go to church and they make you feel bad about how you live. First of all, we're not here to make you feel bad. We're here to tell you the truth. If that makes you feel bad, that's not our fault. The problem is not the sower and the problem is not the seed. The problem is the soil. How we want to receive it or not. That's the issue. So we can either do this morning. We can decide, you know what? The Shasta Baptist Church down there, I'm sick and tired of the way they're messing with my life. I go over there and they tell me I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. I don't need to be doing this. I ought to be doing that. I'm tired of it. I'll just go find me a church that won't tell me that. And you'll find them. Oh, they're everywhere. You don't even have to drive very far to find one. Very simple. And they'll allow you to keep your soil just like it is. And nothing will change in your life. But the key now for you and for me to understand is this. The key is the soil. The difference is the soil. The difference is how you and I want to receive the Word of God. The difference is us, not the book. The Bible is not the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me this morning. The admonition of Scripture is preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers, Dr. Reverend Wiggalips, who just give them a little Greek and Hebrew and pat them on a popo and send them off to the champagne and scrambled eggs on Sunday afternoon, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But a church that loves you is going to tell you what the Bible says and present the Word of God to you. But if we don't receive that, the problem is not the sower. And I know I can be offensive at times. I know I can say things that offend you. Sometimes I say things just sort of shock you every now and then. Because some of you get that deer in the headlights look. You know, you just kind of get there. So I'll say something, just kind of strip your gears and yank the rug out from underneath your feet just to see if you're paying attention. And I apologize if my sarcasm, and I get a little sarcasm in there every now and then, if my sarcasm and things affront you or offend you, and I don't mean to be offend people by my sarcasm and those sorts of things, but let me say something. But if I'm preaching the Bible and you don't like that, the problem's not the Bible and the problem's not the preacher, the problem is the person. Now see, but wait a minute, I brought my Aunt Susie over here, and she did not like that at all. Now don't go to Aunt Susie and say, your problem is you, Aunt Susie. That's what your problem is. Bring her back, and I'll tell her that, and everything will be fine. But the truth is, do you understand? This parable is very important to help us. That's why I think it's the jewel of all parables. Because it's about the Word of God and its effect upon our lives, or lack thereof. See, the key is the soil. The key is me. If I come to the Word of God with a plowed up life, ready to receive God's Word, I want the Word of God. I must have God's Word. I don't want the opinion of man. I don't want the statements of mankind. I don't care about the tenets of religion. I want the Word of God. Give me the Bible. Tell me what God says. That's good soil that receives the seed of the Word of God. We come to it with other issues, then the Word of God is not going to be effective. But the problem is not the Bible, and the problem is not the sower. The problem is the soil. And the key is the soil. From this parable also, I want us to understand this. Four types of soil. One type of soil bears fruit. Now I want you to look in verse number 23, please. And what he says about the good soil. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Notice this statement. Which also beareth fruit. It's the only one of the four that bears fruit. Some grow but choke out, but no fruit bearing, only the good seed in good soil, which also beareth fruit, the Bible said, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now look at me this morning. That lesson teaches us this. One out of four people who receive the Word of God are actually born again Christians. Pastor Johnson, you know, over these last year or two, you've really been hitting this thing about professing Christians without being possessing Christians. Do you know why? Because I fear to the depths of my soul. We have a bunch of Christians who say they know Christ and do not know Him. Not because they don't line up to our standards, not because they don't line up to our expectations, because they don't know Christ as their Savior. They don't have a clear, simple testimony of a time where they realized they were lost. They trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and they got saved. And yes, my friend, and there was some evidence of a life change and fruit bearing in their life. Now, we don't believe in Lordship salvation. We're not going to bore you with that or waste time with the concept that somehow or another you have to make Jesus Lord of your life in order to be a Christian. You can't do that because as a Christian, you haven't done that yet. Christ is not complete Lord of your life yet. If He was, you would never sin, you would always do right, and you would always do the will of God. No one has made Jesus Lord. That is a continual process of submitting to the Lordship of Christ. That's a lifestyle, friend, and a lifestyle doesn't save anybody. But Jesus must be Lord of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means Christ is the only one who can save. That's the Lordship of salvation for biblically speaking. Not this stuff taught where you've got to, you know, boy, if you don't show evidence of your life after you were saved by changed life and complete transformation, well, obviously you didn't get saved. But the truth of the matter is this morning, my friend, there is clear evidence in the life of a person after salvation that things are not the same anymore. Are you perfect? Nope. But you listen to me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You may not be all you should be, but my friend, you're not what you were, and something's different after that. That's called fruit. Now look at me this morning. Look at me. Don't go around and being a fruit inspector, okay? Examine everybody else's fruit and tell them whether or not you think they're saved or not. You check your own fruit, my friend. You check yourself and make sure you're born again. You make certain there's a clear testimony of salvation that you have. You make sure there really is an evidence in your own life. And if something's not there, something's not right. Look at me. You can't go on drugging and drinking and horsing around and messing around with your life like you did before you said you were saved. Sorry, that's not how it works. That's why I believe one out of four professing Christians are actually born again Christians. I get that from Jesus' statement here. There got to be something of evidence of fruit there. There's got to be some evidence of change there. Something's got to be there. Pastor Johnson, you're making me nervous this morning. It shouldn't be able to bother you at all. Shouldn't cause you a least bit of concern. My friend, if you're saved, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you have that assurance? Are you certain of your salvation? Did you settle that matter in your life? Nothing to be concerned about whatsoever, friend. Do you have a definite, specific moment in your life where you realized you were lost, trusting Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior? You asked him to give you salvation? Then you are born again, my friend. You trusted Christ, period. Settled. But let's be certain this morning that it is very possible for a person to give evidence of a changed life without salvation also. No, wait a minute. Why in the world would somebody want to change their life? You don't think false religions got people changing their lives? Folks, you don't even have to be in a Christian religion to see that happen. They make a Hajj in their life. Make a journey back to Mecca and fast and seek God, Allah, and set themselves aside for fasting and prayer 7 times a day and seek the Lord's God, their God's face, Allah, in the Muslim religion. Do you know why the Muslim religion is so popular in the inner cities now? Because Muslims won't put up with drug dealers. I'm not advocating the Muslim religion this morning. It's a false religion. But, you listen to me, but they have a changed life. Young men who are at one time very much involved in the drug culture, now wearing suits and ties and standing on street corners and chasing off drug dealers with pistols. Which I would not advocate that you do use a rifle. But the case is this. Don't do that. But the point is this. Change, like, look at me. You can change your life and not go to heaven. Be very careful about the fruit inspecting of another person's life. You check your life today. Sower seed and soil. The difference is the soil. 1 out of 4 are actually Christians, I believe. 3, we need to learn from this parable to respond to God's soil preparation. Why did he call one soil good and the rest stony, wayside, thorny soil? Listen now, they're all within the... Remember, look at me now. The parable is very simple. He scoops up a handful of seed and he throws it out. So right next to good soil is wayside, hardened soil. Next to that is some stony soil. Next to that is some thorny soil with seed already in it. It's all right there close together. In other words, what made good soil was that it was prepared. It allowed the preparation to take effect. The only difference between hardened soil and good soil was a plow. It's the only difference. Breaking up the soil and getting it ready. Good soil allowed, listen to me, good soil allowed the work to prepare it for seed. Why do you think most people get saved after a time of difficulty in their life? I know very few people ever got saved, ever, at a good time in their life. Most of them were going through some kind of personal struggle or battle, or they were going through some kind of struggle or battle in their home or their family, or they'd gone through some kind of struggle in their finances. Something had happened in their life, and it woke them up, awoken them to see their need to come to God. That's God's plow, my friend, running down through the hardened life and breaking up that old hardened soil. Just because some people want to receive God's word doesn't mean that they're special. They just let God do a work on them. They responded correctly to that. How are you responding to what God's trying to do to get you to pay attention? to get you to receive the seed of His Word? Or are we just coming to church and saying, okay, I'll do my church thing now. It's a Sunday morning church time, I'll do my church thing now. That preacher's not going to mess with me and nobody around that place is going to tell me how to live my life. You come as you are and you'll leave as you are. There's a church here in town that had a banner out in front of the church. Come as you are, stay as you are. And I thought, well, what's the point of going to a church like that? What in the world? Say, well, you're making fun of the competition. Ain't no competition to us, friend. No stinking way. First of all, we don't have competition. This ain't a race, and we're not in a business. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, what we need is God to run the plow of the Word of God and the plowing work of the Holy Spirit through our lives to turn some things upside down to get the good soil out there that's needed to be used, ready for the work. How are you handling the preparation of God in your life? You come to the Word of God and you find yourself, you're hardened to the things of God. Yeah, well, you know what? Let me tell you about God. Tell you what God did to me in my life. And our heart becomes hardened because we feel like God has failed us in some area. Look here. God didn't make a mistake. That which was allowed in your life was the plow of God to break up that soil to get you ready. Some of us come and we've got stony soil, shallow stuff. We like that shallow Christianity. That sloppy agape, let it all hang out, baby, BB spitting stuff. You know what I mean? Where we just kind of come in, we get a little tingle, little touch, get a little this, get a little that, get up and walk out and say, yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, just give me a little this and give me a little that and all that kind of thing and just sort of send me on about my way. We like that sort of thing. As soon as we get around a place where the Word of God is presented clearly and simply, hey, that book is light. That book is a mirror. Didn't you look in the mirror this morning? You started your day out, you walked by and looked at the mirror and went, ah! And you saw yourself. Wonder who that old man is to stand there looking back at you. The book's a mirror. Shows us what we are and what we need to change. I don't know how we can get away from the fact that you put the book up like that, it just says, that's you, Johnson, and there's some things you need to fix. But listen now, the Word of God is effective when we have a desire to receive its message. Sometimes it's thorny soil. We've already got so much seed of this world in our lives. And we hear simple things about, you know, tell the truth. Some of these new movements going around, it's hilarious to hear the principles of some of these new movements. A man shall be moral. Boy, that's new. That's a brand new concept. Trying to get people to be honest. And it's sweeping the country like wildfire. Well, thank God it is. We need a bunch of people to get honest. Nice place to start would be Congress. But the truth of the matter is, it's just fascinating to me how people get infatuated with stuff that's been in the Word of God forever. But the seed of the thorny things of the cares and deceitfulness of this world choke out the good seed. Look at me, friend. Look at me. A separated, godly Christian life is not appealing to a Christian who wants to know how much a marriage they can make between themselves and the world and still get the benefits of the Christian life. The Bible says, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, God said, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Doesn't mean you get saved, friend. It means you come out and you enter into a closer fellowship with Him. That comes at a price. You've got to come out of the world to find where God really could bless you in your life. See, the good soil isn't really any better than the hard soil, the stony soil, or the thorny soil. The only difference is the good soil responded to the work of the great preparer. Okay, look at me. So what's God been doing in your life to try and get your attention lately? And how are you responding to it? Made you mad? Offended you? Affronted you? Came to church, found out you're shacking up. You're living with somebody you're not married to. That's adultery, friend. That's all that is. It's adultery. It's time to split sheets or do the right thing. Fix it. Fix it. Make it right. The world does it all. I mean, hand and foot, they drop it. They don't even care anymore. What's sad is it's gotten into our churches today. Christians living together and they're not married. That's wrong. Now look, folks, fix it. Got to straighten that thing out. You got to fix it. And when we come, we say, but Pastor, I go to work. I mean, The way they talk and act, if I try to do right, I'm going to stand out. Fix it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't wear a white robe and sandals and walk on water puddles, but blessed be God, live for God where you work. How can these dear people find out what they need if you're what they are? We got to fix that. See, we got to fix it. So when the Word of God comes to us and we say, yeah, but I don't want to lose the approval of my friends. You see, you got too much seed already in there. What the world thinks of you is more important than what God knows about you. And what God knows is far more important than what the world thinks. But the good soil, quickly, now we finish here, look. Some of you want me to hurry up and finish, so let me help you. See, the good soil, did you notice the product of the good soil? And it all brought forth a hundredfold, right? Verse number 8. Brother fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, and all the rest of the guys were counted out. How come 100, 60, and 30? You know, he's trying to tell us, not all Christians are the same. You know what God desires every one of us to be as best we can for God and more like Jesus every day? But the truth of the matter is, if you get saved at the age of 60, you don't have as much time as a six-year-old who gets saved in our Sunday school classes. You're probably not going to be able to give 100-fold. You may give 30 just due to time factor. You got into this thing late. It's not bad. Thank God you got in. Amen? Amen. Wonderful. Fantastic. Man, the other day I got saved. 82 years old. Wonderful. Fantastic. He will be a 30-fold Christian. He doesn't have much time left. Maybe many years, God willing. But 30-fold, just time factor. But the big thing about this difference in Christians, it isn't because one is better than the other Christian, it's one has a greater desire than the other one to bear fruit and do something with their life. See, good seed in good soil that brings forth fruit doesn't all bring forth the same amount of fruit. Well, I'm a 30-fold Christian, that's the way I want to stay. See, that's our problem. We've desired to stay as we are instead of bear the maximum amount of fruit for God we can with our life. So does that mean someone who gets to the senior years of their life and cannot do physically what they once did, does that mean they don't count? Oh, absolutely not. Oh, no. No, see, they have a great opportunity now because they know God. They've walked with God. They have this thing in their lives where they have a personal relationship with God. Younger Christians would never know in their life because they just haven't lived that long. They can talk to God. They can walk with God. They can do their part. They can still be faithful to the Lord and still be very productive in their lives. The difference is, what do you want to do for God with your life? Good seed and good soil will produce for God if there's a desire to let that soil be everything God wants him to be. You know, we're losing missionaries at a faster rate than we're replacing them because we have so many returning home after they've served God 40, 50 years on the mission field. But there has been, in the last 4 or 5 years, there has been an uprising of 60-year-old pluses who reached their retirement days and decide to go to the mission field and serve God with their life. Now, that's your calling. If God calls you to do that, I'm not saying you're supposed to. I'm saying God has an interesting way of doing things with people's lives. See, we think, well, I got so much baggage when I came into this Christian life thing, I can never do what God wants me to do. You'll do as much as you allow God to work your soil, friend. You can be as productive as anybody. See, look here. The Bible tells us if we ever gave ourselves to sin, we know how to give ourselves to righteousness just on the principle of the fact we knew how to give ourselves to sin. Read Romans 6, 7, and 8 when you go home today. So I had a rough life, Pastor Johnson. Then you have the opportunity to do a lot for God. You knew how to do it wrong. Now you know how to do it right. You could be productive for Him. The difference is the desire of the soil to let the seed do its full effect in our lives. Do you have a desire for God to do something with you, or do you set the terms? Well, I just want a certain amount. I just want God to do a certain amount of things with me, and that's it. I'm not going to get crazy about this sort of thing. Then you'll be a 30-fold Christian, but that'll be your fault when you could have been 100 or 60. The key is you got to do what God has designed for you and desired for your life. That sow or seed and soil thing The difference in with the work of the Word of God is the condition of our hearts and our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please, if you would.